Hi, I'm Joaquin Evans, co-senior leader of Bethel Austin. I pray that Jesus ministers to you through today's message and that you are blessed deeply. If you're encouraged, please like and subscribe so you can stay up to date with all of our weekly sermons. Enjoy the message.
All right. Oh, anybody excited about Jesus? Come on. Let's set this up. Glory. Well, I'm excited. Sunday morning. Excited for what God's going to do this morning. Very expectant. I feel the Lord has some powerful things for us this morning. So you guys ready? Before we jump in, just some personal updates. Our family, we have a baby due in the beginning of June. A baby girl, and we're super excited. Thank you, everyone who's prayed for us in this journey. It has been a journey, but we're so thankful. God is so faithful. So we're super excited about that. Also, in a couple weeks, we are going to Canada, and Janessa is going to be speaking at a young adults event with Upper Room and a few other awesome people there. You can be praying for us that God moves powerfully, but equally as important, I will be going bear hunting. And so if you could also be praying that I harvest an amazing bear and that I don't get eaten, that'd be awesome. And for anyone that just cringed at that, I just want to say David killed a lion and a bear. And so I'm just following in the footsteps of David. With my bare hands. I don't know about that, okay? All right. Well, we're going to do something before I jump into this message. But aren't you glad that the gospel is powerful? Aren't you glad that the gospel is powerful enough to set us free from all bondage, all sin, all sickness, and even death itself? I just want to say this. Do not believe anybody who tells you that the gospel is not powerful enough to set you free. Completely free. Derek Prince says this. There is more power, I love what we're singing today, in one drop of the blood of Jesus than all of the kingdoms of darkness combined. Come on. Come on, Jesus. And I just wanna kick the devil in the face this morning. And I'm gonna ask for your participation. I hope you didn't come to spectate this morning. But I wanna do this together. So I'm just gonna call out some things. And if Jesus set you free or delivered you from one of these things, I'm going to ask you to stand up boldly, and I'm going to just ask everyone else to celebrate the blood of Jesus and the power of the gospel. Can we do that together? All right. Let's go crazy about this. This is kicking the devil in the face, I'm telling you. All right. You guys ready? If Jesus set you free from an addiction to alcohol, he delivered you from addiction to alcohol, can you stand up right now? Come on. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for your blood, Lord. Come on. Come on. If Jesus set you free from an addiction to any type of drugs, prescription, or illegal, or whatever, can you stand up right now? Come on. Come on, Jesus. This is the power of the gospel. The power of the gospel. Come on. more power in one drop of the blood of Jesus than all the kingdoms of darkness. If Jesus set you free from mental torment or suicidal thoughts, or I'll add this, okay, mental torment, suicidal thoughts, stand up. Let's, come on. Come on. Come on, Jesus. Come on. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We're kicking the devil in the face. If Jesus set you free from self-hatred, self-harm, or any eating disorders, can you stand up? Come on. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Come on. If Jesus set you free from a pornography addiction, can you stand up? Come on. Come on. If Jesus set you free from same-sex attraction or a struggle with gender identity, can you stand up? Come on. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. The power of the blood of Jesus. Come on. If Jesus set you free from anxiety or depression, can you stand up? Oh, yeah. Jesus. He's really good at that. Come on. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Okay, this is the last one. We could keep going, but I'll just say, we'll finish with this. If Jesus has healed you of an incurable sickness, disease, or allergy, can you stand up? Wow. Wow. Come on. Wow. Wow. Jesus. Jesus. Wow, wow, wow. Aren't you glad that the gospel is not powerless? I want to do this. You know, more can happen in 10 seconds in the presence of God. Even more than, I'm not against counseling, but even more than 5-10 years of counseling. If I called out something that you want to be set free of, we want to pray for you. So can you stand up? If there's anything that got called out that you're like, I want freedom from that, just go ahead and stand up. Be bold. And this is what we're going to do. The Lord's going to touch some people. Just set your eyes on Jesus. Yeah, some of you may feel something, you may not, but he's touching people right now. Lord, we thank you. Right now, yep, just all throughout the room. Whew, unraveling. Yeah, we thank you. We just sprinkle one drop of the blood of Jesus over everyone standing. And we say, be free. Right now. Yep, yep, right now. Yep. I see specific eating disorders falling off right now in Jesus' name. Mental torment, suicidal thoughts, we just command them to go in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Ooh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on. Come on. Thank you, Lord. He's touching you. I just see his presence just resting on you guys. Oh, just keep receiving. Just keep receiving. Yeah. I just thank you, Lord, that people are going to wake up tomorrow and notice that they're free. It's gone. The desire is gone. We bless these ones staying in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and take a seat. All right. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hey, let me know if you get set free. Those who stood, I just want to hear the testimony. All right, well, we're going to jump into my message this morning. I will warn you, this is a bit of a meat message. So can you guys handle some brisket this morning? The title of this message is A Wonderful, Costly Invitation. And I believe that there's an invitation that God has for us this morning for more. And more of the power of his resurrection. And how many of you know that Christianity, our faith, is more of a journey than it is a destination? I'll say that again. Christianity, our faith, is more of a journey than it is a destination. It's more of a path than it is an arrival. And God often cares more about the journey than the destination. Jesus said things like this: I am the way. He said, take the narrow path. He said, come and follow me. And there's always more in our journey with the Lord. There's always another step. And as believers, we don't ever want to have an arrival mentality. We don't want to ever get to the place where we think we have it figured out, where we think we've arrived. I don't want to get stuck. Have you ever met a Christian that is the same as they were 10 years ago? I don't want to get stuck in my faith. I want to keep running my race. Amen? And this morning, I want to talk about the invitation or the step to become a disciple of Jesus. And I want to be really clear about my language, because the moment I say disciple, a lot of you think of a whole bunch of things. But this morning, I am not talking about discipleship. Okay, so discipleship, maybe meeting with someone, you know, someone's pouring into you, is super important. I'm passionate about it. Janessa and I just released a podcast on it that's extremely powerful. But this morning, when I say becoming a disciple of Jesus, I want to talk to you about the invitation to become a disciple of Jesus, a follower of Jesus, one who's walking with Jesus, learning from Jesus, and following him. Okay? Does that make sense? And in our faith journey, there's a lot of invitations the Lord has for us. And the obvious first one is to be born again. The wonderful, glorious invitation to believe in Jesus, to confess him as Lord, and to receive salvation. Does anyone remember the moment you were born again? I remember I was 8 years old when I was born again. And I remember telling my parents, I want to receive Jesus. They grabbed a leader at our church, and that leader led me in a prayer, and I remember it was a moment I was born again. I received salvation. And I want to remind us that the gospel and salvation is a free gift. There's nothing you can do to earn God's love or acceptance. Jesus paid that price for you, and the way you receive it is by faith. Amen. I'm going to read this verse, Ephesians 2. This is the Passion Translation. Says, for it was only through the wonderful grace that we believed in him. Nothing we did could ever earn this salvation. For it was a gracious gift from God that brought us into Christ, so that no one would ever boast. For salvation is never a reward for good works or human striving. When you take that step to be born again, there's nothing more you can do to be more loved or accepted by God. So in our journey of faith, the first step is salvation. But I want to talk about the next step, and that is becoming a disciple of Jesus. And I want to say this, that I believe the Western church has done a pretty good job inviting people to the first step to become born again. But I don't know if the Western church as a whole has done a great job inviting people to become disciples of Jesus. And I believe God has a burning desire that all would be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. But he also has a burning desire for disciples. It's found in the Great Commission, go and make disciples of all nations. And the reason I think the Western church maybe has not done as great of a job making disciples is because it's costly. The invitation to become a disciple of Jesus is costly. And I'm going to show you in Scripture, Jesus lays out a clear invitation, and there's four requirements he lays out to become a disciple of Jesus. And I'm gonna lay this out. I just want to say this. This is an intense passage of Scripture. Remember I said this is a meat message? So I'm gonna try to break this down, but sometimes Jesus is intense. And this is the invitation. He's very clear. And so I'm gonna read through this, and I'm gonna go through the four requirements to become a disciple of Jesus. I'm going to read off Luke 14. You don't have to turn there. This is the New Living Translation. It says this. This is the words of Jesus, not me, so don't get mad at me, okay? This is the words of Jesus. If you want to be my disciple, you must, by comparison, hate everyone else. Whoa. Your father, your mother, your wife, your children, brothers and sisters, yes, even your own life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. Whoa. You guys okay? Anybody choking on this brisket? Just pat your neighbor on the back, say you're going to be okay. I'm going to keep going. There's more. And if you do not carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. But don't begin until you count the cost. For who would begin construction of a building without first calculating the cost to see if there's enough money to finish it? Otherwise, you might complete only the foundation before running out of money. And then everyone would laugh at you. I'm going to switch over to ESV, the next verse. So therefore, any one of you that does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. Wow. You guys okay? Got quiet in here. There's a cost to take the invitation to become a disciple. I'm going to go through this. There's four things Jesus says here. The first, if you want to be my disciple, you must by comparison hate everyone else. Mother, father, brother, sister, even your own life. Matthew 10:37, he says a similar thing, but Jesus says, anyone who loves their father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. The first requirement to take the invitation to become a disciple of Jesus is this. Jesus must be first. He makes it very clear, very, very clear. Obviously, Jesus does not want you to hate people. But he says, by comparison, of me being first. I must be so far first that by comparison, it almost is as if you hate your own life. Jesus wants to be first, 100%, without question, full surrender. This is the number one requirement to become a disciple of Jesus. I shared with you, I was born again when I was 8 years old, but I didn't take the next step to become a disciple of Jesus until I was 18 years old. And I was in high school, and I had my first vision. I'd never had an encounter with God like this, but I was at my friend's house at 3 a.m. after a party, and my friend starts sharing a miracle that he saw on a missions trip. And on this trip, they put the wrong kind of gas in. So they put diesel gas in a regular gas car. I'm a car guy, so I'm like, okay, like you have my attention. They drove it like a quarter mile or so, and it breaks down, obviously. But they prayed for this car, and it got resurrected. They drove that car like 150 miles to the next gas station. It was completely healed. I'd never heard anything like this. He's telling me this testimony 3 a.m, and it was as if veils fell off my eyes, and I see an ocean for all, it just went on forever. It was like for eternity, and I knew in my spirit it was the ocean of the knowledge of God. And it planted this seed in my heart where I ended up doing a YWAM DTS in Perth, Australia. It's a discipleship training school, mission school. And I went there, and the second week, they taught on surrender and lordship, making Jesus first. And at the end of that week, they did a activation. They said, go and pray, ask the Holy Spirit, is there anything you need to surrender to make Jesus fully Lord of your life, number one. And I went and prayed, and God spoke to me 3 things, and I wrote them down. The first thing was my future. And I remember thinking, I gotta give you my future. Whatever it looks like, it's yours. If I move to a third world country for the rest of my life, just do missions, it's yours. My future is yours. The next thing was my family. And I just remember laying that down. God, if I never see my family again, you're worth it. I'm making you number one. And number three was my friends. And as an 18-year-old, that's kind of like your main thing, right? I remember laying down my friends, all of them. I had no Christian friends, really. So they're all unbelievers. I just said, God, I lay it down. I lay down all of those friendships to you. And I wrote them down, laid this paper at a cross. And I've shared this before, but I felt liquid love fill my body. And I encountered the love of God. I believe that was the moment that I became a disciple of Jesus. I signed the document, the blank document at the bottom of it, and say, God, my life is fully yours. Jesus wants to be 100% first without question. This is the first requirement. The second requirement, he says this, if you do not carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. So requirement number two, you must take up your cross and follow Jesus. Being a disciple and a follower of Jesus often means that you go where you do not want to go. When you take up your cross daily, you are not leading your own life. You're giving up the right to lead your own life. And every day, you're choosing to follow him. John 21 says this, very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself, You went where you wanted, but when you're old, you'll stretch out your hand and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus says this, take up your cross and follow me. I want you to look at that imagery. Take up your cross and follow me. Did you know that if you are a disciple of Jesus, he's leading you somewhere? We actually know the destination. We know where our life is going to go. When you say yes to being a disciple of Jesus, you're taking up your cross and you're following him. And you're not you're not following him to the American dream. You're not following him to worldly success, ministry success. You're not following him to self-gratification. You're not following him to a life of comfort and ease. He's leading you somewhere. He's saying, take up your cross and follow me. Where is he going? Calvary. He is leading us to Calvary. This is the end destination. If you say yes to being a disciple of Jesus, you must know that he is taking you one direction, to Calvary. A laying down of your life, a death to self, and a becoming love. This is the direction that he is leading his disciples. All right, take a deep breath. You guys okay? I got a little intense there, so. I'm going to hit on the benefits of being a disciple after this, so. All right. The third requirement, I'm going to do third and fourth together. You must count the cost, and you must renounce your own life. I just want to say this. We're called to make disciples. God has a desire. I'm sharing this message because I can feel God's desire for disciples. And we're called to make disciples. And I just think that as the Western church, we need to be honest with people. There is a cost to following Jesus. There is a cost. In fact, it will cost you everything. You must renounce all to be a disciple of Jesus. You can't hold on to your own life and his. I remember after I had that surrender moment, made God number one. I had about 6 months, I was in YWAM, I did missions, lived in Indonesia for 3 months, and then I ended up back home, and I'm going to share this. I was 19 years old, so it may not sound like much, but as a 19-year-old, this is like your whole life. I had no friends for 6 months, not a single friend. I remember looking at my phone, being like, why do I have a phone? Because I gave up everything. I just gave up everything. I drove an hour and a half to church because that was the closest spirit-filled church. I gave up all of my hobbies, everything. And I don't know why this hit me so hard, but 1 year after I went to YWAM, one of my old best friends that I grew up my whole life with posts on Facebook. And he says, RIP, Ben. 1 year, we miss you, man. And it just hit me like so hard, you know? Like, I really did die. Like, I gave up my life. I really did die. It was like a prophetic statement. And I became a disciple of Jesus. You must count the cost. So the four requirements, again, God must be first, full surrender. You must carry your cross and follow Jesus daily. You have to count the cost, and you must renounce your life. All right, the benefits. It's heavy, I know, but it's glorious. The benefits of being a disciple. This gets good. God often restores all that you forsake. Trust me when I say this, that your life that you forsake is breadcrumbs compared to the life that God has for you. Every dream, every desire that you lay down, you trade it for God's dreams and his desires. They're breadcrumbs. I'm telling you, they're nothing compared to what God has for you. God restores things. Listen to this. This is such a profound passage. In Matthew 10, so it's talking about, hey, we've left all. Peter's talking to Jesus. He says, see, we have left all and followed you. And Jesus answered and said this, assuredly I say to you, there is no one that has left house or brother or sister or father or mother or wife or children or land for my sake or the gospel's, who shall not receive a hundredfold now in this time. And, sorry, now in this time, houses, brothers, sisters, mother, children, and land. But then he adds something to it, a little bonus, and persecution. Thanks, Jesus. And in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. I can say this 100%. God has restored friendships. Everything that I left has been restored 100-fold. I would say 1,000-fold. Better than I could ever think or imagine. And I can honestly say I am wealthy with the relationships that are around me now. The second, and about one of my favorite benefits of being a disciple of Jesus, is that you will walk in the power of his resurrection. It was after I took that step to become a disciple of Jesus that I started to see the power of God flow through my life in a significant way. Philippians 3:10 says this, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. There's something about the power of his resurrection being tied to the fellowship of his suffering. When you decide to follow him to Calvary, the power of his resurrection starts to flow in a powerful way through your life. And I can tell you, we've seen blind eyes open. I've seen blind eyes, wheelchairs, tumors dissolve. I've had the power of God touch me in such ways that I thought I was physically going to die. But it was like awesome though. All right, number three, you will have treasure in heaven. I won't go into this passage too much, but the rich young ruler got invited by Jesus to be a disciple. He could have been the 13th disciple, I think. But it says this, Jesus looked at him, loved him, and said, one thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. Treasure in heaven. It's probably the most underrated thing that we talk about. You know, treasure in heaven is not like, oh, you're gonna have this mansion and this Ferrari in heaven. I'm telling you, it's glorious things. It is, the treasure in heaven is glorious. We have no clue how glorious it will be for all of eternity. All right. Our faith, I'm gonna wrap it up here. Our faith is more of a journey than it is a destination. Every day, I'm 16 years into being a disciple of Jesus. So I'm like a teenager disciple of Jesus. Every day, being a disciple looks like this. I wake up, my life is not my own. I'm not leading my life. I'm simply following Jesus daily, and I am aware that he is leading me to Calvary. And God is so gracious in this journey. You know, you don't have to kill your own self on the journey. He does a good job of that. He knows how to prune us. He knows how to pull things out of us. If you just keep following him, like, he's going to take care of it. And he's so gracious. I mean, look at Peter. Denies Jesus, one of the greatest disciples of Jesus. And he denied him. All right. Well, this morning, can I get the worship team to come back up? This morning, I want to do this honestly in the fear of the Lord. I'm hesitant to do like an invitation because I don't think it's good to just have an emotional response to this kind of decision. But I do want to create space, and I do want to say this, that there's an invitation to become a disciple of Jesus, but also this, there's so many radical disciples of Jesus in this room. But I think that there's something about us being honest with people of what it means to be invited to be a disciple of Jesus. But I do want to give some space that if you genuinely have counted the cost and you are ready to make this step, to become a disciple, and you want to respond, you're willing to make God 100% first in your life, full surrender, forsake your life, and take up your cross and follow him daily. I do want to make space for that. Yeah, if that's you and you want to respond, we're gonna open up the front. The worship team's gonna be here. This is really between you and the Lord. If that is you though, you can ask the Lord, is there anything that I need to surrender? Is there anything that I need to fully forsake? And if he highlights things, just go ahead, just surrender. But if there's anybody that wants to respond, you can come up to the front. We're gonna open it up. It's a glorious thing to be a disciple of Jesus, to follow him, to forsake our life, and to daily take up our cross and be with him. Lord, we thank you for your desire for disciples. Lord, we pray just for the Western Church as a whole, God, that there would just be a move, Lord, that people would get unstuck and they would move forward in their faith on this journey, that many would start to take that invitation, not for the American dream, but to become a disciple of Jesus. Lord, we love you. You're worthy of it all.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit BethelATX.com.